Give the invocation, please.
Yes, sir. Please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed on this community, and we pray tonight for your guidance that our decisions will always be for the greater good of our community. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started, we have an announcement to make about City Administrator Mike Hernandez. We're saddened to say that Mike Hernandez is retiring from the city after 26 years of service at the end of this month, which is only a few days away. He has been an excellent example of someone who worked his way up through the ranks due to capability and a strong work ethic. Mike was well-liked and respected by our counselors, by the workforce, and by the community. He did a great job. And this was during this historically busy growth period for Carlsbad. Mike also knows the infrastructure of this city like the back of his hand, and he played a major role in the development of our double eagle system, and we hope he'll be around to continue to assist the members of this community. Mike, we just want to thank you personally for everything and congratulate you on a job well done. We got something that we'd like to present you, but that's at your retirement party. But I'd also like to invite members of City Council to say a few words today. Counselor?
Mike, I want to thank you for all the years you've given us. I remember when you first came on the scene, you were just fresh out of high school, BPA student, working in the water department and filing papers. And I watched you grow as you came into what you would become. And I remember working with you very closely. What a lot of the public doesn't know is sometimes when those pumps go down or the wells are not pumping the way they should, we have to shut down water lines and do different things like that. And Mike and I were able to work on issues like that very, very well. And he was always good to call and make sure things were right. And as soon as things mm-hmm. were back to normal, we were kick all of our systems back on so that the schools weren't using up too much water for the people to drink. But I really do want to thank you. You've done a wonderful job. I watched you grow, and it's bittersweet to see you go. I know it's going to be a good relief, a good time for you. You get to spend time with your lovely wife, and I wish you blessings.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Anyone else?
Mike, I'm going to miss you. I understand where you're leaving, but I like it, but I understand it.
You got my cell phone number.
So. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I think everybody has it. If you need to hear my voice. And I'll be around. I told the mayor that if anything is needed or, you know, I'll be around to help.
And we will.
Thank you so much.
And I do appreciate the opportunity the city's given me over all the years and the experiences and people I've met and things I've learned. And it's been a great run for sure.
Yeah.
And like I say, I'll be around. Me and Kim, you'll see us active in the community now that we have a little more time. But thank you once again.
I'd like to say a few words. Mike, it's been a pleasure knowing you and working with you, and I wish you much leisure and success in your leisure time. Enjoy your life until you decide maybe to move on to another career possibly. But yeah, it's been a real pleasure working with you, and I just like to say that I really appreciate your calmness, you're very personable and very polite, and it's been great. We're going to miss you.
Right, I appreciate those comments. It's been challenging at times, though, to keep a good demeanor through tough situations. I'm not going to lie. It's been tough at times, but it's all worked out in the long run.
Same here. I'll miss you, too. You know, I always found a pleasant place to go and visit Mike anytime there was an issue. We'd work through whatever the issue was in a very calm and collected way, and that's real reassuring about people. But you have that mentality about you, and we're really going to miss that. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure somebody else will fill those shoes very well, but you did a great job. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
Ditto.
Thank you. Thank you.
We really appreciated your work.
Very much.
And you'll stay on the council, right?
I'm actually outside the city limits, so that might be a little difficult unless I move.
But you can come to the meetings.
I can.
We'd like to see you.
We have plans for him.
Good.
Yeah. Anyone else? If not, we'll move to, we're going to have an update on the brine well remediation by Jim Griswold. Welcome back, Jim.
I guess it's been since October of last year, I think, since I spoke with you last. To give you an update, so we had started drilling in earnest on the property into September on schedule. We began our first grouting as well on schedule in early December. Well, there's a picture up on the screen, but I had to find out for you guys. And you may remember that our conceptual model of what the cavern looked like in the very heart was there was a whole bunch of rubble with a clear brine on top. The plan was to drill a series of 16 holes into it, displace that uppermost brine portion with a high-mobility grout, drill back into the rubble pile, and consolidate it with low-mobility grout. So we progressed in our drilling from south to north. We find out new things every day. In the southern portions of the cavern, things actually looked a whole lot better than we thought. And so grouting was started in that area. And so we think, we finished grouting that southern area. So we now believe that the people at the church, the trailer park, the CID, all the farmers that rely on the canal should sleep better at night. But as we've progressed further north, as we got near US 285, things changed. We've encountered a significant void beneath the surface that we didn't expect. What we think happened was there was, because that was near Eugenie number 2, the freshwater injection point, where that's where a significant amount of salt was displaced historically. There was a large cavern within the salt, but we're guessing probably 20 years ago that portion of the cavern did indeed fail and fell in. And so we've lost, probably 100 or 110 feet of roof in that area. And so we've got this large void. We deployed a sonar contractor to get an image of it. It looks like it's about 100,000 cubic yards of void in that area. Under the initial plan, the total estimated grout deployment for the project was going to be about 30,000 cubic yards. And so this one void there in the north, the area outlined in red, is more than three times that size. Deploying grout into a large void that's pretty much free of any kind of solid material, it's just water and some gas, air inside of it, is just the wrong way to go. And so I've got to hand it to the contractor and their subcontractor crews. Over the Christmas holidays, we shifted gears on this thing, and starting in early January, we've been deploying sand into that area at a rate of about fluids content about 70 yards an hour. About half of that is sand. The rest of it's brine and some foaming agent to help slurify. That's probably not a word. To help facilitate getting the sand back in there. So that's our primary focus at this point. That void, just to kind of give you some rough dimensions on it, is probably north-south about 500 feet long, east-west 250, 300 feet across. The highest point in that cavern is probably about 340 feet beneath the surface. As I was mentioned, the salt layer itself is about 456. And so we've really had to shift our focus towards that area. Even though on a per-unit volume basis, deploying sand is less costly than the equivalent volume of grout, there's just so much more of it. So we're currently sourcing that sand here locally, but we're continuing to look at our options over the broader area. Sand and gravel of the appropriate grain size is a little bit difficult to come across in southeast New Mexico. It's just a combination of geology and things on it. But we're still working very hard to stay within our cost estimate, and currently anticipated it may only add about 4 weeks to the project schedule, additional weeks to get that done. I'd be remiss if I didn't note that today we reached 120 days of operational time on the site without a lost time accident, which I think is really good given the fact that we've been working 24/7, multiple crews, large equipment, working in the dark, bad weather, that kind of stuff. So congratulations to everybody in that regard. If there's anything I am missing. I think that's about it. And so I'm welcome to answer any questions if I can. And I've got two representatives of the contractor here today. If there's something I don't know, perhaps they do, we can answer your questions.
Counselor?
Jim, you said there was a significant portion that fell in.
Yes, sir.
So when it fell in, how far was it from the top to where it fell in? What was the distance then?
The top of that void is about 340 feet beneath surface. It should have been about 456. So we lost, like I say, about 110 some odd feet of roof material in that area.
Okay, so we weren't coming down to the last foot or anything.
Oh no, sir. We're still But it's, you know, I don't want to say that it's good or it's great or anything, because it's not. We need to deal with it. And like I say, this sand deployment is a better way to go in that portion of the cavern.
Yeah. And the sand is a slurry as it goes in?
Well, we have to just mix it with water, brine actually, and then a foaming agent, just a minor amount, to keep it flowing mobile so we don't lock it up in the drill pipe or in the pumping pipe going down. And then to try to get it to spread as far as we can in the cavern, because that'll the further it spreads, the less holes we need to put in that area to deploy the grout.
So how far are you along in this that red shaded area?
Our estimate right now is since sand deployment in January, we've probably already filled about 10% of it.
You're only 10%?
Of that void.
Oh, I see. So right. You've got 90% to go.
Correct. Yeah, so we should still be deploying sand into the summer.
Further questions?
Jim, and this may be more a question for the contractor, but is that an engineered sand or is this natural found sand that's ground?
Really both, but I'll let Dan or Ron, if they want to come up and answer that. Sure. It has to be processed.
Right.
Mayor, good seeing you again, council members. We have been pilot testing various mixes of sands and types of sands, about a half a dozen of them. Some have worked. And some have not. And the best sand that works is the well-sorted, well-rounded, consistent sand flows fantastic. But it happens to be the more expensive sand, of course. So we've tested a couple other mixtures. Right now we've got a 64 aggregate types. That's working well for us. So it's at a reduced cost. And so we continue to look for those ideas as we refine our process.
You mentioned that that's not something we can get locally. How far are we having to import that?
Well, we can get it locally. I think your contractor or Constructors Inc. is actually providing it out of their pit now.
So they are able. Yeah. We are able to get
yeah,
it.
And if you drive by there, you'll see there's a big pile of sand that they're working up.
Pure sand has to come from further north, Roswell area. Right. Mm-hmm. Some of those blends.
River sand coming in.
Concrete aggregate, concrete sand, is a blend of sand materials that do get imported from a little further north.
Okay. Yeah, they're not coming from out of state or anywhere. Well, we got a source here in Carlsbad, but again, we got to be mindful of cost and continue to look.
Further questions from the council?
One more question. Jim, as far as the blue area says it's stabilized. You're done with that, right?
Yes.
And that's all grouted. That's
yes. Either it's grouted or there was areas that we didn't even need to put any grout in.
But you didn't put any sand over there.
No, sir. No, that was under the normal deployment regime. But and we would still be deploying grout in that central area if we didn't need to have all hands on this area in the north. So that's where we're focusing our efforts right now.
And now you have went and did a seismic thing to know that we're were packed good, right?
Well, it's a sonar log, kind of like sonar on a submarine. You're looking for another submarine. You send an acoustic ping out there, and you wait for it to bounce back to see how far away the wall is, and that way you map how big that void is down underneath it. But over time, as we fill it with sand, we'll see that bottom coming up. And I think Dan was telling me the other day that the most recent pairing of it, we probably already filled about 4 feet,
about 4 feet
of that across at least a portion of the bottom of it. So,
are we going to see a subsidence in the future as time goes on?
Okay. We might, but we can't risk not doing anything with this. And I should also mention that there's going to be a limit as to how much sand we can get in there. And at that point, when we think we've got enough sand dispersed in there, we'll go back with the normal grouting regime to finish it off.
Okay. If no further questions, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You guys have a nice evening.
Number one on the agenda is approval of the agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion?
Yes, right here.
And a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
That was a yes. Mr. Carter? Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
I might mention that Councilors Chavez and Shirley are attending an ECA conference in Washington, D.C., but are joining us by telephone. Number two, City of Carlsbad Financials, December 2019. Ms. Salcido.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Thank you for being here this evening. I'm certain that you've had an opportunity to review the financials that have been provided in your agenda packet. Therefore, I will only provide you with a brief summary of the city's cash position as of December 2019, the seventh accounting period for FY 2019-20. The city had a beginning fiscal year cash balance of $99 million and an ending cash balance of $96.4 million. I am pleased to report the city's revenues of $68.5 million are 8.7 favorable to the $119.5 million budget, and 7% above target. The increasing trend in gross receipts tax revenue accounts for a majority of the favorable variance. The city's labor costs of $25 million are $431,000 favorable to the $50.8 million budget and 1% below target. The city's operating costs are $30.3 million and $3.6 million unfavorable to the $53.5 million budget and 7% above target. At this point, the operating costs are over budget $3.6 million, but this unfavorable variance is due to the timing of paying off the water and sewer bonds of $12 million. By the end of the fiscal year, we should be favorable $2 million in operating costs. The city's capital costs of $15.6 million are $11.5 million favorable to the $54.3 million budget and 21% below target. Of the $11.5 million variance, $3 million is related to the timing of Double Eagle Phase 3, and $5.1 million is related to timing of multiple street improvement and street maintenance projects. Overall, the city has decreased cash balance $2.5 million from the previous fiscal year. But again, this is due to paying off the water and sewer debt. This will conclude my summary unless there are any questions.
Questions from the council? Thank you, Ms. Salcido. Number three, routine and regular business. All matters under this heading are considered routine by the city council and will be acted upon in one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items. If discussion is desired on a particular item upon request, that item may be removed from the routine and regular business and be considered separately. I would ask Mr. Britt to briefly discuss C1 and Mr. Hernandez to discuss D4.
Mayor and members of the City Council, at the November 12th meeting, this body did approve going out for RFP for a government liquor license at the golf course. We did that. We had two potential vendors submit responses to that RFP. We had a committee of five people review those. We have selected one for your consideration, Eric Chavez. Once we can negotiate a contract with Mr. Chavez, we'll hire a broker who will handle the government liquor license. It's about a four-month process before that'll be realized, and the goal will be achieved. Any questions?
Question for Mr. Brett. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hernandez.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council, item D4 is a consider approval of amendment to the agreement between the City of Carlsbad and Chandler Aviation for ground and terminal space leases at the Cavern City Air Terminal. This is an amendment to the current Chandler Aviation agreement. This would eliminate Track 7, which is one of 11 tracks that he currently has leased. And this would free up this Track 7 to be leased by another business out at the Cavern City Airport.
Question from the council?
I'd move for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
A second.
A second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez? Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
All items under routine and regular business have passed. Number four, consider approval of temporary use application to allow temporary housing as a temporary use at 2901 Hidalgo Road, zoned RR Rural Residential District, applicant Lloyd Tiller. And Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this item is a request to allow temporary housing as a temporary use at 2901 Hidalgo Road, zoned rural residential district. This is an item that was brought before the Planning and Zoning Commission initially at the December 2nd, 2019 meeting. At that meeting, it was pointed out to the applicant, Mr. Tiller, that there were certain deficiencies with his plan and the park in general. These deficiencies were communicated to him, and the Planning and Zoning Commission decided to table the item and allow the applicant to address certain deficiencies that had been pointed out. The applicant was able to do so during the month of December, and the item was brought back to Planning and Zoning at the January 6th meeting. The applicant had met all of the criteria communicated to him at the December meeting. Therefore, the Planning and Zoning Commission considered the item once again and voted 5 in favor, none against, to recommend approval of this item to the City Council.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Do you have a statement, Mr. Tiller?
No, sir.
Question for Mr. Tiller while we got him up there.
Mayor, I'd make a motion for approval.
We have a motion to approve.
A second.
And a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
You're approved.
Thank you.
Number five, consider approval of resolution number 2020-04, a resolution opposing the legalization of recreational marijuana use in the state of New Mexico. Councilor Walterscheid.
Mayor, this resolution reads, resolution number 2020-04, a resolution opposing the legalization of recreational marijuana use in the state of New Mexico, whereas the Carlsbad City Council is committed to reducing the problems in our community related to drug use and alcohol abuse, and whereas the Carlsbad City Council has long supported drug abuse awareness, education, intervention, and treatment initiatives. And whereas in those places where recreational marijuana use has been legalized, there has been an increase in marijuana-related traffic deaths, youth access to marijuana, and related medical and substance abuse treatment needs. And whereas federal law classes marijuana as a Schedule I drug under the Controlled Substances Act 21 U.S.C. Section 812, and whereas the short-term effects of marijuana use can include impaired memory, impaired motor coordination, altered judgment, and difficulty with thinking and problem solving. And the long-term effects may include addiction and altered brain development and cognitive impairment in adolescence. And whereas the Carlsbad City Council also recognizes that marijuana use is associated with addiction to other substances. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the City of Carlsbad, County of Eddy, State of New Mexico, that the City of Carlsbad opposes the legalization of marijuana for recreational use within the State of New Mexico.
Is that a motion?
We make a motion to
approve the resolution.
We want to make a resolution to approve
the
resolution.
So we have a motion?
Second motion.
And you second? No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number six, consider approval of resolution number 2020-05, a resolution adopting the City of Carlsbad Comprehensive Plan 2040. Mr. Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. As stated, this is a resolution to adopt the City of Carlsbad Comprehensive Plan 2040. As many of you know, cities such as Carlsbad often have these comprehensive plan documents in place to use as a guide for development, a guide for growth, a guide to move in an organized way into the future. These documents, of course, need to be updated periodically. The state usually recommends every 5 years. So we undertook this item in 2018 to update. Of course, our community is evolving and growing at a rapid pace currently and has been for a number of years. So we thought it appropriate to update our guiding document. And so we contracted with Consensus Planning out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, to guide us down this path. They began work starting with community outreach. A series of three public meetings were held to engage the public and get feedback from our citizens on what were their needs, what did they want to see the city address, how they wanted to see the city grow. There was a community survey that was put out that provided some information. They also asked us to form a steering committee, which the mayor was kind enough to put in place for us. There were representatives from industry. There were representatives from city staff, county staff, that served to kind of guide the process. Our consultant also met with entities from the community, the Department of Development, representatives from the state, representatives from industry as well, to try to get an understanding of what the issues were for our community. This is the same consultant that helped guide Eddy County into their current comprehensive plan. So they had a very good idea of what the needs were and what we were dealing with here. This plan, it's a large document, a few hundred pages, but it really details out. There's 11 total chapters that separate the plan moving forward, and they provide goals and strategies for each of those chapters, such as infrastructure moving forward, emergency services, things of that nature. It also provides, with those goals and objectives, strategies that we can use as a guide to implement what the plan calls out for, and it assigns responsible parties within the city staff and within the community at large to help lead those efforts to implement the strategies that they call out. You as the governing body, you know, you are our decision makers moving forward. This document is put in place to serve as a guide for you. So as you get together to make the decisions that will move Carlsbad into the future, you have something to turn to, whether it's dealing with your constituents or with each other. I urge you to read the document. I urge you to reference it as you deal with people in the public and amongst yourselves. And when we as city staff come before you for decisions to be made, let this serve as a guide as you make those decisions. And as such, I recommend that you adopt the resolution to adopt the plan, and I'll answer any questions you might have concerning the comprehensive plan.
Question for Mr. Patterson. Thank you, Mr. Patterson.
Make a motion for approval, Mayor.
We have a motion to approve and a second. If no further discussion, call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
Number 7, Council Committee Reports, and I think Mayor Pro Tem Eddie Rodriguez has a census update.
Yes, sir. We had a census meeting this Monday. We couldn't have everyone there. We have people out of pocket, but the people that were there, I briefed on what the goings-on have been up to this point. We have a good active committee. We are currently working. One of our members is working with our the company that we're looking at using for our media services and determining which of the I'm not sure what you call them, like Facebook and Twitter and whatever. That's not my strong point. Which of those would be best to utilize to attract the attention of different age groups, be it radio, be it Twitter, be it Facebook, whatever it is. But people that are more knowledgeable in that are looking into that and looking to provide us with the best venue to get that message out. It is very critical that we do count. Each person, each head counted that will identify living in Carlsbad, living in Eddy County, will bring us $3,795 per person per year. So that's $30,000 per person over the 10 years that we can bring in. Everyone we miss is that amount of money that we don't get. And that money doesn't come directly to Carlsbad, but it does provide funding for mental health. It does provide for medical, women, infant, children programs, our senior citizen centers, a host of highways and roadways, everything that's critical to us, education, the lunch program, the one of the biggest things, best things I think we've ever done, is had the universal breakfast brought into the schools where every child gets breakfast in the classroom every morning. So whether you had breakfast at home or not, no one ever knows, but you start the day with a good belly full of food and able to learn. These are the types of programs that are funded through this census, and it's very critical for all of us to make sure that we get that word out. One of the things that we want to stress is that we're counting heads. We're not counting the color of your hair or the color of your eyes. We just want to know how many people are in there. We have a lot of man camps. We have a lot of RVs. We have a lot of mobile homes. We have a lot of rental homes with more, they'll have 8 pickups parked out in front of it. We're not after that. We are after how many people are here. Can we count them? Will you allow yourself to be counted here, so that we can benefit from that? Because this is your livelihood, it's our livelihood. Big Oil is behind us. They are willing to participate in this program. So it's critical. It's a very good working team. We plan to meet next Thursday in this room here for an update on the media blitz, and hope to move forward with that very quickly. Also had a meeting today with the census training group with Workforce Solutions. They are looking at hiring people in Eddy County. Eddy and Lee County, because of the low unemployment rate, are going to be paid $17.50 per hour to be an enumerator. So that statewide it's $16, and nationwide it's about $13.50. So they do realize that this is a hard to count area. We're going to have a lot of enumerators going into the land camps, into the employee housing. So they understand that the low unemployment means they're going to have a little bit more attractive package for those people to come in. We're looking at veterans. Veterans get preferential hiring in this venture. We're also looking at the possibility of retired teachers. We're looking at college students who have hours through the day where they may not be in class that they can dedicate to this. They will get paid through the census. They will get trained through the census and get paid while they're getting the training. So this is a win-win, and I want everyone to understand that there's extreme confidentiality involved in this thing. The information that's gathered cannot be disseminated for 72 years. It has to be held in confidence for 72 years. And all those enumerators who are gathering information cannot enter that information for you. You have to do that yourself, unless you provide it to them to write in, they can. But you're able to do this online. You're able to do it by calling in. And the last step would be someone comes to your door and knocks on it, and you go through it in the paper form. But I do urge you all to please join us. Help us to get that word out. If you know anyone that has a rental home or anything, ask them to help us get the word out, because that postcard that goes out to allow you to go online and fill out the survey will go to an address. So if I'm renting my house out to a couple of welders, that postcard's going to come to me. Those welders don't know that that's happening. But it behooves me as a landowner, as a property owner, to go to those guys and say, hey, I want you guys to count yourselves in on this, because you're living here, living in my house. We need you to be here. So if you know anyone in those situations, please help to assure them that confidentiality is the utmost and that we are counting heads. That's all. How many people are here? Our magic number is 50,000. Everyone wants those amenities that we can't seem to be able to get. That's because our 2010 census says we only have 26,000 people. So please help us get that word out.
Thank you. Any other councilors have any updates?
Mayor?
If not, I'm going to ask Councilor Walterscheid to act as mayor for about 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. This is from the city of Carlsbad, the office of the mayor. It says, Dale Janway, mayor of the city of Carlsbad, do announce that Lisa Walterscheid is an outstanding citizen, is given special recognition in celebration of her birthday. Lisa has been a dedicated and highly involved member of this community for many years, both as a former employee of Carlsbad Radio and as an active advocate of the political process. She also represented the community in rodeo competitions for many years. And she says she's going to do a lot more of that, but we'll see about that. But together, Lisa and Mark have dedicated themselves to the community. We wish her a very happy birthday. In recognition of the above, I have set my hand and caused it to be affixed to the seal of the city of Carlsbad, New Mexico, done at Carlsbad, New Mexico, this 28th day of January.
So, happy birthday, Lisa. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the council? If not, call on Councilor Lisa Anaya Flores.
Mayor, I'm
make a motion to adjourn, please.
We have a motion to adjourn. Can we get a second? We have a second. No further discussion. Call for the vote.
Mr. Shirley?
Yes.
Ms. Waters?
Yes.
Mr. Walterscheid?
Yes.
Ms. Anaya Flores?
Yes.
Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Carter?
Yes.
Mr. Estrada?
Yes.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
We're adjourned.